Ein kimoi egel levanoin the Syrian kimoven reinim. What does this pasuk mean? Page 254, pasuk vav. I want to try to first run through the basic pshat of the mitzvahs, then we'll come back with some of the mori chazal. Pasuk vav on page 254, mizmor chavtes says in the mitzvahs the vayakidem kimoi egel. The mitzvahs stuff is on the next page, page 255. Vayarkidem bitnuas hora oda. The word like rikida means to skip and jump. To skip and jump. Here it means the bitnuas and the mitzudos sioin. The mitzudos sioin vayarkidem inyan kifitza vidilug. Skipping and jumping. And the mitzudos David explains in this context, the meaning means it means with a tenua, a movement of Hare Oda, of terror. Where do we find something similar? Yitzchak, when Esav walked in and said, "Kunda Avi, my father, may he stand up. I want the brachos." This was already after Yitzchak gave the blessings to Yaakov. After he gave the blessings, so Vayecharad Yitzchak Charada Gidoyla Admeoid. And the Targum Uncle says Loshnov Zia, the word, I've got the exact word, but it means he shook. His whole body shook. So by Yechrad, sometimes a person comes into a state of, when a person's in shock, ordinarily what happens? You just freeze. This you have to speak to a psychologist, someone understands how the mind works. There are different reactions to information that you do not expect. All different types of the person receives information that he never expected to hear some information. So there are different types of reactions, and of course it all depends on the the degree, the severity of the information. So sometimes, your person is going about, you're doing your thing, all of a sudden you just freeze. You don't move. And then there's a level where a person hears information, he shakes. His body begins to quiver. And we have to speak to a psychologist who understands how the mind works. There are different degrees of reaction to the severity of information. Here in this pasuk it says there's movement. It's not just a response of shock. A response of shock typically is the person just does not move. Your jaw drops and you're lifeless. But then there is a reaction of actually shaking. That's frozen in terror. But then you're shaking. That's a higher level. That's even a greater level. Vayarkidem. Over here, there's movement. There is the body is quivering, kimo like an egel. What does it mean like an egel? The mitzudos doesn't even explain what it means. Like an egel. Levanon v'Sirion. What is Levanon and Sirion? These are names of mountains. Okay, Hashem went when he gave the. Let's assume now that we're living over here, Hashem is giving the Torah, as according to the mitzudos stuff, Hashem is presenting the Torah to the world. And his coil is spreading over the waters, over the mountains, over the cedars, over all different types of old objects. And here Hashem over here's voice passing over the Levanoin and the Sirion. These are names of mountains. Kimo. Oh, that's what's right. So this is it. This is exactly what's happening. But here we're describing over here what's happening to the entire world. Kimo ven re'aimim, like a ben re'aim. What is a re'aim? A re'aim is some mystical creature. We don't really know what it is. Rabbi. Nassan Slifkin. This is one of his very big topics. Mystical creatures. I have the book somewhere at home. I don't know where, but somewhere I have the book. Mystical Creatures. A fantastic book. And one of the biggest chapter is the Re'aim. What is the Re'aim? What is he? Takes all of the Memorial Chazal, all over the Midrashim to try. What is a unicorn? What is a unicorn? Mazeh. What is the Re'aim? And he lemaskana. Obviously, he doesn't know. I mean, even if he'll tell you, I don't trust him that he knows the answer. Okay, but he knows quite a bit. I'm very humble before him. What he knows is really unbelievable. And this was one of his earliest books. This is a very early book. He wrote this book many, many years ago when he first started. And if I remember correctly, basically says it's a certain type of giraffe. The closest thing that we know about the Re'im is all the varieties of giraffes, but it's a giraffe. So it has a very, very tall neck, and giraffes have one horn. They have a bump. They have a very significant bump on their head. If you Google giraffe, you'll see. No, one bump. One bump. I guess it's a certain variety. The other Mordechai is here. This is Mordechai. You're an impersonator. You're an impersonator. This is the real Mordechai.
With the real Mordechai stand up.
There's a different word for giraffe.
Yeah.
A zemer.
Oh, okay. So that's Rabbi Reisman's shita. Rabbi Reisman holds that the zemer. Reisman always says over. Rabbi Reisman says that the zemer is the giraffe. Why? Because when you sing, you have vocal cords. Who has the world record for the longest vocal cords? The giraffe. The giraffe has a very, very long neck and has a very long, very, very, very long vocal. That's why the zemer, because the song comes from the throat. A very long neck, you have the ability, theoretically, to produce, you know, a sophisticated arrangement of melodies, and arrange of koyach hazemer. So Rabbi Reisman always likes to say that the zemer in the Torah is the giraffe. Rabbi Nassan Salifkin, in his book Mysterious Creature, Mystical, I don't remember the name of the book. Either it's Mysterious or it's Mystical. I bet you it's out of print, but I have a copy. It's a great, great sefer. And he says there that it's the closest thing that we know about is the giraffe. Now, this is one of the yesod. When it comes to these type of animals, like when it comes even to tsaras, and many things like, let's say, the nesha, there's a basic yesod that really goes through and through a lot of these type of things, and that is these animals, these creatures that the Torah is referring to, in when the Torah talks about them in a certain context, are not creatures that are physical, or even if they're physical, they're not known to us. For example, I'll give you something, Nesher, and the illness of Tsaras, the Re'im, the Tachash, even the Mon, give five different examples. Yet, all of these things I've just listed to you, Tsaras, Re'im, Tachash, Nesher, and what we say, I gave you another one, the Mon, if I say that, there are in the world today items which represent them, which are very, very close to what these things really are, and can be used by us as a dogma to relate to what these things are. Now, in other words, let's talk about tsaras. What is tsaras? Now, so if you'll tell me, so I was actually reading this yesterday unbelievable stuff. I have a whole new appreciation. I wish I had time to read everything he ever wrote, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Jonathan Sacks is a genius, such a genius, a genius, incredible person. John, such a tragedy, died during COVID. Such a tragedy. But he didn't die from COVID, but he died banish. Just disappeared. Middle of nowhere.
Man?
What?
Yeah.
Well, he retired from the UK. He was the chief rabbi of the United Kingdom, but he retired from that. If you're going to say that tsaras is leprosy or some disease that we know about, it's not impossible. How do we know it's impossible? Because the Torah talks about tsaras on nige botim and nige bigodim, clothing and stone. There is no medical disease today of leprosy or anything of the like that afflicts the skin. A skin disease that we've, you know, there are certain types of people that want to say everything in the Torah is very real, a certain approach. So tsaras is leprosy. So you go to medical school and study leprosy. If it's not going to be leprosy, you'll find another similar type of disease that I can't even pronounce. That is similar to leprosy. This is what the Torah is talking about. And there are many people that like, there are many mefarshim that like that approach very much. They want to work, they want to make everything in the Torah something that's very practical, very real, that we can relate to. The problem with that approach, or Jonathan Sacks says this, is if you want to say that saras is something that we can find today in this world, there is nothing. Because since the Torah says this saras that afflicts the body, and afflicts clothing, and afflicts stone, there's no such thing. In the science that we know today, there is no such disease that you could say is the same exact thing for nige odam, nige bigodim, and nige botim. And therefore it has to be that saras is something which is supernatural. Yet, there are things in this world that have all of the qualities of tsaras, skin diseases, white spots that expand, shrink, contagious, highly contagious, which demand that a person should be quarantined, should be sent away. There are things that we can find in this world that we can use as a dogma for what the Torah is describing. What the Torah is describing is not something that exists today. The Neshek. What is the Neshek? So in all of the good article translations, it will tell you that it's an eagle. But it can't be an eagle, because Chazal said the Nesha has all four of the simonim that make a bird non-kosher, which includes an extra toe. The Nesha does not have an extra toe. It just doesn't have it. So how could we say that the Nesher is the eagle? How could we say that the eagle is the Nesher when the Chazal explicitly state that the Nesher has all four of the simonim, not for now, all of the, and the eagle that we know of today does not have the fourth simon. So how come yet in all of the translations it says the word eagle? Because over the generations, the eagle is the closest thing that we know about that we can use as a dogma to relate, to appreciate what the Torah talks about a Nesher. The Nesher, it flies very, very high. Some say, you want to say it's the vulture. It flies, it can swoop down very quickly. We have a need to find something real that we can touch, that we can relate to use as a dogma to appreciate something that's very mystical, what the Torah really is referring to. And one of those creatures is the Re'em. The Re'em is a very prominent creature that appears throughout Tanakh and in Chazal. The Re'em. What is the Re'em? What is it? No one knows. No one really knows. So Rabbi Salifkin, he says, I'm embellishing this whole idea, is that if you want to find the dogma of a creature in this world that you can use as a tangible example relating to something much more mystical, it is the giraffe. Not, I don't know which variety, there are many varieties of giraffes, a certain type of giraffe which seems to exhibit many of the qualities that we find about the Re'em throughout Chazal. The Mon. You know, there is such a thing in this world that there is food, there's actually some certain type of clouds, they bring up a certain type of substance. And drops it in the morning, in the early morning, and it's edible. There is such a thing. We're not familiar with this, but there is such a type. Is that what it means in the Torah, the man? Absolutely not. Because Chazal said the man was lechem abirim. There was no waste. And this type of, this object, which is known in some parts of the world, where in the morning there can be a certain type of substance on the ground that falls in the evening with dew, and it's actually edible, cannot possibly be the man. But it is a dogma, it is an example of a substance which we can use as an example in order to relate to something that is very sublime. So here we have the Re'im, and it says, Kamo ven Re'imim. So the pasuk here begins that there's dancing.
And anyhow, one bump, the pasuk says, Tarnay Re'im,
Tarnay. The horns, two. So that's part of the question. Maybe you're right. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I saw this book, the Mystical Creatures. Maybe I'll look for it, I'll find it, bring it in. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol. Okay, so we have here in this pasuk two different creatures. We have the egel, and we have the Re'emim. Both of them have in common that they're very agile. They move around a lot. Very hard to trap them. Is that really true? Is a giraffe hard to catch? A giraffe runs around? What? It's a hard creature. It's a hard, but is it hard to, an eagle?
Yeah, they run pretty fast.
They're very powerful
fish.
Okay, so that's maybe part of the rais. We have two different creatures over here. We have over here the eagle and we have the re'emim. These creatures are in motion. They are in motion. And the pasuk tells us the motion, according to what Mitzvah says, the motion represents a pachat. And who exhibited this movement, this pachat? Two mountains. The mountain of Livanon and the mountain of Sirion. Do you want to suggest that the mountain of Livanon is the Egel and the Sirion is the Re'em? Maybe. The pasuk Vayar Kidem, and they skipped and jumped and hopped. Kmo Egel. Who skipped, hopped, and jumped Kmo Egel? Livanon. The mountain of Livanon. And what about the mountain called Sirion? What? So that's the question. So there are different interpretations. No, but see, it's subject to interpretation. Pasuk, Rav Kalman has suggested that Pasuk Vav is going back on Pasuk Hei. If you want, you can say Pasuk Hei is an independent statement. Kol Hashem shover arozim, vayeshaber Hashem, Hashem shattered, S R Z Halavonon. The Mitzvah David says it's different types of nations. We went from the nations that were compared to the Nachle Mayim, the nations compared to the Mayim Rabim. Now we have the nations compared to the Arozim, and now we have nations compared to the Arzei Halavonon. Four different types of nations. Four different types of powerful nations. And now, like today, you have your third world nations, then you have the emerging nations, then you have some powerful nations that have very powerful economies, and then you have the nuclear nations. Nations that possess nuclear bombs, you don't start up with them. You don't want them to press any buttons. Only Meir has the buttons. We always say that Meir, what did he do before he came into the Kollel? He carried the football. And when they saw that he was playing around with the buttons, they sent him to Kollel. A certain yeshiva, they tell you, come, become a first grade Rebbe. It's Kedai. If we have to fire you, we don't want to fire anyone here in the yeshiva. We'll put you in the Mizrach. You'll sit in the Beis Medrash in the Mizrach Vant. That's the retirement package we give when we fire you. Okay. So Vayeshaber Hashem Esar Zahalvanon. Then we have Pasuk Zayin Vayakli. They skipped and hopped. And the skipping and the hopping represents an expression of pachad, kmo egel, levanon v'sion. These are the mountains. They skip. The word vayar kidem is to be applied, is to be repeated, as we did many times to the end of the pasuk. Kmo ven re'emim, like the ven re'emim. Notice that you have a lot of this idea. You have many times. They're like the birds. They are toirim. There's the b'nei yoina and there's the tar. There's no such thing as the b'nei tar, and there's no such thing as the yona. It's toirim u'b'nei yoina. Why? Because the yoinim, they're only good when they're b'nei, when they're little. When they get old, they're out. The toirim are only good when they're adults, but when they're children, they're no good. Every creature has its time and place. It's toidim u'b'nei yoina, not b'nei toidin and yoinim. Likewise, when you want to deal with these creatures, they're in their prime. It's when it's an egel. An egel by definition is a baby, so it's not really a good example that I'm giving you, because an egel by definition is a baby shar, egel, and the re'em is ben re'emim. Okay. Let's see the next pasuk. Now we go back to the koilos. Back to the koilos. There are seven koilos in this pasuk. Koil Hashem choytzev. The koil Hashem is choytzev. Choytzev means to quarry. Lahavois eish. It quarries with a flame. A lahav. Ever hear the word lahav? There's a seminary, a girl's seminary, called lahav. Flame. Lahav. Laha means a flame. Laha voice, here it's in the book, flames of fire. It's a very popular word today, lahav, flames of fire. Now this past, shalheves, there are many different words. The kol Hashem is chaytsev, the voice of Hashem is chaytsev, it's etching in with lahavoyesh. This pasuk in the Mefarshim we'll see, so it refers to this is a very interesting idea. I'll tell you now is, if Colin mentioned yesterday, is the pasuk says, v'chol ha'am royim es ha'koylois. What does that mean? Pashup shat. No, ein mikro yoytse midei pshutai. What does it mean? They saw the koylois? What are you talking about? You don't see sound. No, there's no such thing. So you want to go tell me these very esoteric concepts. You know, you have to also learn chumash pashup shat. It's going on this pasuk. It's referring. And this is what it says in the Chazal, you have to find over on the page, is that when Hashem gave Moshe the Luchos, it's not like we think. We think that, I don't know what to say. How are you going to reconcile all the different psukim b'amar Chazal? We have this romantic image of Moshe coming down the mountain, holding in his hands these stones, and it was a finished product. There were these two big stones, and on the stones it said, like having Tavli or Nakodesh, or Noich Hashem Lokecha, Lo Yilcha, Lo Sisa, Zachar, Kabbalah, Savich, you know, we have this romantic vision. It's not necessarily the way it was. Klal Yisrael actually saw, according to this Medrash that we'll read soon, the stone, and they saw the fire come down from Shemayim and actually chiseled its way through the stone to see it being written.
Well, that's the way it was in the book. Yeah.
You know. Today we live in such a new world today. Art scroll. They've really gone to a new level. It's not enough that art school has produced for us this very beautiful volume with Nikudais, which is, I mean, I can't believe what they've done. Okay? They have a newsletter. I don't know if you go to shul, and where I daven in shul, they put out on the table this beautiful newsletter every Shabbos. So they just put out, I know the one, the Glickson, the one who did it. I know the one who did it, a woman who did it. She doesn't know from the web. She doesn't know about this person. She did research. There are two types of biographies.
Right.
There's a biography when you know the person, and there's a biography when you do research, like a PhD thesis. Okay, Rabbi Rakefet. He never saw Rabbi Lazer Silver. He did research. Bernard Revel. You ever saw Bernard Revel? Maybe he did. I don't think so. He did research. So he himself says, when you don't know the person, you're objective. When a grandchild writes a biography, when Yisrael Besser writes about the Chassam Soi, well, he never met him either, because it's way, way back, but it's his great-great-great-grandfather, when someone knows the person, then you're partial. You write what you want to write. And you don't write what you don't want to write. So you mentioned the Sfar, and they put out, I know you told me, they just put out a new biography about it. One of the Sfar, and so I know the person who wrote it, she's a Chaim Berliner. She is the Dvorah Glicksman. She wrote her by Rabbi Siegel. I know who she is. I know who she's married to. She's a Chaim Berliner. She's not a Chaim Berliner. She's married to a Chaim Berliner. So she must have done it, because she has no shaykhis to the Sfarish world. She did probably spend an enormous amount of time researching and studying him and it's like a Mamshal PhD thesis to write a biography like that on him. In any event, getting back over here, Klal Yisrael saw the fire come down from heaven. So what was I telling you about art scroll? I find this very funny. So now they put out, they have this beautiful, it's really very impressive. Every Shabbat, every Friday night, they go to shul on the table. They have a beautiful color. It's like a brochure promoting all their books. You know, excerpts from on the parasha, it's a very nice newsletter. Every week they put this out. They have probably a full-time staff doing this. And then they have online videos. I don't know if you see this. They have these fascinating interviews. Some of them are just unbelievable. The interviewer, Beryl Wine, unbelievable what he was saying over. You gotta hear this. The interview, the people who write books for them, people who spend years writing books. So after, when they publish a book as a promotion, they sit down with them and they interview them. And when they say in the interviews is everything that was censored from the book. Whatever they say in the interview is usually not in the book, because the people who are the authors are frustrated that a lot of what they wrote was not allowed in the book. So they, and then they have a new mishigas. When they do a promotion, they show you the video of them printing the book. I love these videos. They show you, oh, new release, new book just came out. So they show you the printing press. They have their own printing press in their basement. They move now to a new location. They move to a massive new location.
Edison?
That's where it is? Edison, they moved. They left Brooklyn. Brooklyn lost out. They moved to a new facility. You have to cross the Outer Bridge Crossing. Right, I have to get off the Outer Bridge Crossing. That's where it is. It's halfway between Lakewood and Brooklyn, because half of their staff lives in Lakewood, half their staff lives in Brooklyn. And they have this amazing, ultra-high-tech printing press in the basement. And they love doing this. Every time they print a new book, they show you the video of the book being printed. Mamish of the machine stamping the pages, and it coming together under the assembly line, and it being stapled and sewn, and the hardcover, and being pressed. It's amazing. I love this stuff. How books are made. And they show you a new book. It's the machine spits it out, and they show the workers packaging. They do this like every time a new book. That's how they promote a new book now. They show you a video of the printing press of the book mamish being printed in front of your eyes in their own basement. Very, very fascinating. So guess what, that's exactly what happened by Matan Torah. Hashem was ahead of his time. Hashem had a printing press on Har Sinai, ultra high tech printing press, laser printing press. Hashem brought down the Luchas Masi Elokim Hema, and this pasuk is describing to you Hashem's coil. We heard the sound. It's a lot of noise. These machines make a lot of noise. You have to wear ear protection when you go near these machines. And there was fire coming out of Shemayim, which came down onto the stone and chiseled its way through the stone. Like a laser, through and through. Chorus al haluchais. And it made a lot of noise. And the sound of the fire penetrating through the stone, writing, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, was witnessed by Klal Yisrael. And it made a lot of noise. You had to have earplugs. V'chol ha'om royim es ha'koilos. They saw the coil. They saw the fire that was cutting its way through the stone. That there was a sound that accompanied the chiseling of the fire going like a laser going through the stone to actually write the words on. That's what this pasuk says. The koil Hashem, the sound of Hashem, is choitzev, is means to quarry. Which in this context it means to cut. With how did Hashem cut? Hashem was ahead of his time. He didn't use ink. He didn't use wax.
Laser.
He used lasers. laser technology. Lahavoy seish, with a flame of fire. Mitsudois David. Pasig Zion.
You hear
the rustling,
but you don't see it.
You don't see the wood, but you hear it.
You see the effect.
You see the wind. The tree is shaking, so you're seeing, and the sound of the tree shaking and the leaves rustling, you hear. That's called royim es ha'koilos. You're seeing. It's the same thing. I'm seeing the tree shake back and forth. I'm seeing the leaves move back and forth, and I'm hearing the rustling of the leaves. So that's called Royim Es HaKoylois. So when Hashem wrote the Luchos, what's that? So that what? Shoyim Es HaKoylois. Here we're Shoyim. Okay. Let's see over here the Mitzvah David Pasuk Zayin Choytzev Koyres Lahavois Eish with a flame of fire, l'shalcham al pnei ha'aretz, Hashem is sending the fire on the earth, v'heim ha'barakim, and he's learning Pasha, I told you already the Medrash, but with the Mitzudah Yisrael V'Sadarech Pshat, Hashem is sending this flame, v'heim ha'barakim, what are we referring to, v'heim ha'barakim, this is the lightning, v'heim ha'yacharidu es umos, and this event is terrifying the nations of the world. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Ches, Kol Hashem Yochel Midbar. The Kol Hashem is Yochel Midbar. Now, the word Yochel means to shake, to give fear, frighten. A woman who gives birth. Terror. Chil.
To cause fear.
Let's see the Mitzvah Sion. The Mitzvah Sion pasuk Yochel. Look at the pasuk Ches and Tes. Yochel Yicholel. Miloshim chil v'chal chola. Doesn't really help us very much. It means fear. Okay, means fear. Oh, very good. That is chalchal hamalka me'oid. She was terrified. So yachil midbar. The voice of Hashem is causing the midbar to be terrified. Yachil Hashem midbar kodesh. You have to read it backwards. The midbar kodesh. That was one of the deserts. Is Midbar Kodesh, there are many, we don't really know where these places are. We can try to imagine. Some people claim they know all these things. Okay, what is Midbar Kodesh? It was one of the 40, it was one of the 48 stops. Kadesh. It's somewhere in the desert. Where is the desert, by the way? Is the desert Saudi Arabia? Is the desert, I don't know.
Sinai Peninsula.
Which part, what? The Sinai Peninsula?
No.
That's a hard sell. It's a hard sell. Traditionally, people say that. The Olam says that. That's very traditional to say that the Sinai Peninsula is the desert, is where they traveled. But it's a hard sell. So where's Kedesh?
They came together.
The two mountains came together, and the enemy was in between them. There's a place called Kedesh, wherever it is, and that's part of the Midbar, and that's what it says over here in this pasuk. You have to read the pasuk backwards. The Midbar Kodesh is the place where Yochil Hashem is causing this.
I'm talking about when they maybe get from one place to another place. From Kedesh, from Rechem, they bring around
regions.
There are two places. One is it's a kind of cavity of Eretz Israel. One is on one side, the other side. One is Eretz Israel, one is
Dida Sayyam. You have to say, Pana Nichta before Nechta. Right. From the you have Berbi Bekias. Sachtigid. So that's one of the places. That's the Midbar Kodesh. And that is, again, another Yochel. There is a fear. The deserts are in a state of terror. So take note, all the different things that are so far that are in fear of Hashem. We say this mizmor. We should know what we're saying. We say this mizmor every Shabbos. We have the waters, the nachle maimar. There's nachle. The Hashem is affecting everything. The nachle maim, the maim rabim, the arozim, the arzil levanon. Now we have mountains. The mountain called levanon. The man called Sirion. And then we have a new category. We have a midbar, a new category. The midbar. We first stam the midbar, and then we have the midbar kodesh. Next, Kol Hashem Yicholel Ayolois. The Kol Hashem causes the Ayolois to be terrible. What are the Ayolois? This is the living. Mitzudas David. Not on this page, you have to go to Ayolos. Nikevos Ho Ayolim. This is very important because that's how this Mizmar really started. The Mizmar started, Havol Hashem B'nei Elim. Okay, the Elim. And now, the Ayelos HaShachar, okay. So the Ayol, the Elim, and we learned the B'nai Elim means, we translated it, that we learned it means the mighty. We did not translate the word elim as an animal. We just said elim. It means el, yesh le el yodi. But elim, according to some, is the same as is the ayol. And, okay, we have to go back and see if that's really so. Here it says yichalel ayolos. The ayolos means the female, the hind. I don't know, it's not so clear what the ayol is. Katzvi the ayol. Okay, the tzvi and the ayol. The ayol is a female, it's whatever, it's something similar to a deer in that category. The ayol, I know here it's not just the male, it's the female. Kol Hashem Yichalel is causing the ayolos to be terrified. So as Mordechai mentioned, Esther, we learned that Keli, Lama Zavtani, Ayala Sashachar. Right? So as Mordechai mentioned, the Ayala Sashachar was also a reference to that creature, the Ayelas. So this creature is prominently makes a cameo appearance here as well. The Ayolos, the female Ayolos. We have to see a little more, let's see further. The Kevus Ayolos, let's go further. So it has to do with Matan Torah, that's for sure. And we say it, when do we say it? After we finish reading the Torah on Shabbos. So the reading of the Torah on Shabbos, we explained yesterday, is not the same as the reading of Torah on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. This is a much later takon. When we put away the Sefer Torah on Monday, Thursday, we don't say that. We say L'dav Mizmor. La Hashem Aretz Melah, Teva. We don't say it. We say a different Mizmor. Su'u Shur Moshech V'nasu Pischei Olam. We don't say it. We only say this Mizmor when we finish Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. So the Kriyas of Torah on Shabbos, it would seem from the fact that we say this Mizmor, is a reenactment of Matan Torah. The Kriyas HaTorah of Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha is not a reenactment of Matan Torah. As we said, it's a reenactment of Vayelchu Shloishes Yomim Bamidbar Viloy Motsu Moyim. Going 3 days in the desert and there was no Mayim has nothing to do with Matan Torah. That took place before Matan Torah. When they left Egypt, before they got to Har Sinai, it says Viloy Motsu Moyim. There was no water. They and vayilu v'loy motzumayim. They were weak. They were tired. So and Chazal darshan ein mayim ela Torah. A person should not go 3 days without learning Torah. And undu neviim shebeinehem. The neviim amongst them got up and established that you should lay in the Torah every 3 days. So the reading that we do on Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha has nothing to do with Matan Torah. That has to do with you should not go 3 days without learning Torah. Later in history, Chazal came along and they were masakh that we should read the entire Sedra. We should go through the entire Torah once a year or twice in 7 years. That reading of the Torah includes elements that relate to Matan Torah. It represents the Kol Hashem in a different way. It represents Matan Torah. I mean, there are different elements, but it also includes Matan Torah. To show that includes Matan Torah, the Mizmor that we recite when we're finished reading the Torah is a Mizmor of Matan Torah. The Mizmor that we recite when we finish reading the Torah on Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha is nothing to do with Matan Torah. Because that reading of the Torah was enacted before Matan Torah, of Ayelchu Shloishes Yomim Bamidbar. The reading that we do on Shabbos is a reading of a reenactment of Matan Torah, and that's why we read a mizmor that relates. This whole mizmor relates to Hashem coming to give the Torah. The reading that we do on Yom Tov has nothing to do with Matan Torah. That's because Moshe. Chazal say, Moshe, tikkur lechem liYisrael, that you should read about the mitzvahs of Yom Tov on Yom Tov. That's a completely different Kriyas HaTorah. And that's why on Yom Tov you don't say this mizmor. You don't say this mizmar, because that mizmar, what the kriyas haTorah of Yom Tov is a din of Moshe Rabbeinu, a takana that you should read on Yom Tov the laws that are relevant to the day. We discussed this before Yom Tov. There are different times that we read the Torah. The reading of the Torah on each of these times is very different, has a very different function, a very different purpose. What about the reading of Torah on Tainis Sibur? Totally different. That's the Yud Gimel Midas. That's not Midin Matan Torah. That's not Midin Vayelchu Shloishim in Mamidbar. That's not Midin Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a whole different laning. That's a laning of Teshuvah. A Teshuvah, it's a whole different din. Each one, every time you read the Torah, you have to know why we're reading the Torah. What are we coming to accomplish? And if you want to get a hint, look at its packaging. The packaging for Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha is the Mizmar is L'David Mizmar L'Hashem Aritz Emoloya Tehil V'Yoshiva. It's a different. The packaging for the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos morning is this Mizmar, and this Mizmar is all about Matan Torah. It's a whole different round. So let's continue. Let's continue. Vayechesoif Yorois Uvehecholai. This is a very beautiful expression. In the Mitzudas David, it says, the Mitzudas David here is on this page 256. Let's first learn what it says over here, learn what it says in the Mitzudas Siyon. Igin Gilui, revelation. Kimo Machsoif Halavon, Yaakov Avinu. What did he do? He took the twigs, he took the branches. What color is a branch? What color is a piece of wood? Brown. Right, I assume most branches have a brownish color. And when you take, you know, everyone that went to camp, and you take a knife and you make a whatever you call it, a stick to put your frankfurter on, you slice off the bark.
Spit.
A spit. And when you slice off the bark, what color do you get? White. The outside, the branch, the raw branch has a brownish color. When you cut through the bark and you uncover the inside, what color are you coming to? White. So Yaakov Avinu, he went and he was instructed that he should put in front of the animals that would drink from the water spotted and speckled branches. So when the animals mate, they should be thinking about spots. And that way, the product, the animals that are born, will have spots. So it says there, Mach Soif Halavon, the uncovering, the revelation of the white part of the branch. When you strip the branch from its bark, what do you get? You get a white spot. So what do we learn from this? So the word Machasa means the revelation. Take that word and plug it into the pasuk over here. It says, Vayech, back to the Mitzudas David on the right side, Vayech Soif Yerois, Ki yishaber v'yapil kol atzei hayoros, the coil of Hashem will cause the forest to be cleared, to break. All of the trees are going to collapse. They will be broken. They will fall down kol atzei hayoros v'yishadu im kein hayoros migulim, and the trees that once occupied the airspace of the forest will no longer exist, and there will now be a revelation. There will be a clearing of space. Everything over here that I talked about over here is a marshal al mapolas for umois, the nations. So here we have another metaphor. The metaphor of the nations of the world are compared over here to the yorois. The yorois means the forest. And now uvehecholoi, and in Hashem's abode, kuloi, who's all of them? Who are all of them? The angels. Oimer, they say, kavoid, mitzudois, uchecholoi, kolaboy me beis hamigdash. I told you it means in Hashem's order. Over here, he says it means in the beis hamigdash. The times of Mashiach, yoimru, hinei, ato now, nirek, kavod Hashem's revelation has appeared. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Hashem lamabul yoshov. Vayesh v'Hashem, Hashem established the world lamabul. What does that mean? Rashi, mitzudois. Kamo be'es, the Mitzudas David is novel. We'll see all of them come from Farsha, I don't agree with him. But he learns what Mabul refers to Noach. Noach built a teva because there was a Mabul. And in the Mabul, they served marble cake. And we have some of the leftover marble cake in the back table over here, if you want. L'zeich Nishmas, what the father? Your father's name is? Elazar ben Meir Halevi. Zuchus Yagin Alevi. May his Nisham have an Aliyah. This fish also. The Zuama, the fish didn't suffer from the marble. It's a very good combination. You have marble cake with fish. Because the fish were not affected by the marble. Purim Torah. Okay, Lamabul Yashav. Anything to get you all to wake up. Lamabul Yashav. Kimo be'eshoya Mabul Yahu. At the time of the Mabul, Yashav Hashem Levadai. It's a very interesting interpretation. He says, when Hashem, when the Mabul happened, existed, the only one that existed in this world was Hashem. That's an amazing concept. It's an amazing concept that there was no living, there was nothing. The world. Oh yes, in the kasha, Oig Melech HaBashan. Good kasha, a good kasha. There was someone else, Oig Melech HaBashan. You're asking a very good kasha. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. He asked a good kasha. He says, "Kasha haki." So he says over here, "Kamo be'ishahy Mabul, Iyash Hashem Levadoi, Ki Hakol Nishtaf." Everything was wiped away. What was inside the teva doesn't count. The teva was not part of this world. The teva was not part of the world. The teva was moved on.
So
Mordechai is answering that because Oig was holding on to teva, Oig has the din of being in the teva. This is a yesoid. The yesoid is that the teva, it's not the pshat, oh, there's a marble and there's a teva floating around. The teva was muvda. It was like international space station. Taken out of this world. And in this world, it was nothing. It was Chorban. Oh, but it was Oik. So if anyone that's Mechubar to the Teva, it's a chelik of the Teva. It's not part of this world. Okay, you have to say that.
Noach was working,
but he wasn't in the world. He wasn't in the world. He wasn't Yashav. He wasn't Yashav.
The Maran Zvachim also says that the Yerushim and Eretz Yisrael,
there was no Mabul. So okay, all right. There's no end to this. It was then known that Hashem Moshe would go. This is a very, very powerful idea. Okay, there's a lot of depth in this. When you learn this pasuk, then you come to the Nusach HaTzilah. This is something that bothers a lot of people. One of the most beautiful parts of the Nusach HaTzilah, the Musaf, we have here Baal Tzilah, we have here Baal Musaf. Rav Kalman is a Baal Musaf. The Gahamas Noyach, the Ahavo Zocharta, Vatifkideu, Vifkudas, Yeshua Verachamim, the Aviachas Mehamabu. Such beautiful psukim. It's my favorite part of the Musaf. That whole section, Zichroinos. And it is a mamish, a chunk, a major chunk of the davening is devoted to Noyach. And the Mabul, and Hashem remembered. What's going on over here? You know, it's Rosh Hashanah. You have nothing better to do than to learn about the marble. The marble and all the animals. What's going on over here? My high. So there are a lot of answers. A lot. You can answer and answer and answer. But don't forget that this is also an answer. This mizmor, Hashem Lamabul Yashav. Mishpat, the word yeshiva represents the concept of mishpat. Mishpat, okay, that's one idea. Another idea, okay, that's a different idea, what he's saying. But the Mitzvah over here is saying is, this was a time in the world. Think about it. How many moments were there in the history of the world where it was clear Hashem is the Melech? No, make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Today, a lot of people have Meshugayim out there who think they're the king of this world. A lot of crazy people out there in the world, okay? How many times in the history of the world did you have a tekufa where the world acknowledges the Ribbono Shel Olam, he is the Melech? I don't know how many times can you count on your finger that it existed. One thing is for sure, the Mabel was one of those times. It was clear as day that Hashem is the Melech. Hashem warned them for 120 years, there's going to be a Mabel if you don't shape up. They did not listen. A Mabel came and destroyed them all. Hashem was the Melech. Hashem vayeshev Hashem. Hashem lamabul yoshev. At the time of the Mabel, Hashem sat. He established himself as being the Melech, as being the king. Vayeshev Hashem Melech le'olam. Back to the Mitzudos. Hashem lamabul yoshev. Kimo be'esh ha'hoya ha'mabul. Yashav Hashem levadik Yaakov nishav. The whole was swept away. V'noy de'oz. It was then known shu ha'moyshav ha'kol. Vayeshev. Ritzon elo'imah. K'moychein. Now he's saying a new interpretation. He's saying that Vayeshev is a new era. Ritzon elo'imah. Whenever the Mitzvah of it says Ritzon elo'imah, so the Rashi is k'lo'imah, he's telling you something that's not in the pasuk. He's going off on a pshat that's unique. K'moychein. B'mei HaMashiach, Yeshevchu Levadoi. In the times of Mashiach, Hashem will rule alone. L'melech li'olam. Ki ho'elilim kolil yach... Because ho'elilim, the idols, will cease to exist. Kolil yachleif. Who are the idols? People. People who think they're God. They're God's greatest gift of this world. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem oiz li'amo yitain. Hashem will grant Oz, might to his nation, Hashem Yivarech Hashem of Hashalom, Ra'am Mitzudas Hashem Oz, Oz, Yidin Hashem Hashem, HaChoyzek Li'amo, power to his nation, Yivarechim, you'll bless them with the ultimate blessing. This week's Parsha, Parshas Nosoi, Yivarechecha, Yo'er, Yisa Hashem, Pana V'lechav Yosem, L'cha, Shalom, the ultimate brach is Shalom, Shalom, Ki Lo, Tiye Oid Milchama, there will no longer be war in this world. Okay, so we finished the Mizmar in our first round. So let's appreciate what we've done over here in this Mizmar. This Mizmar, the Mitzudeis David alludes, he starts out with the Avos, the Bnei Elim, and we talk about Havu. We mentioned over here in this Mizmar seven times the word Koil. Okay, the Koil Hashem appears here seven times. And the basic theme according to the Mitzudeis David is the theme, according to him, and you can't deny this, is the Umos HaOlam. That is the theme. The primary theme of this Mizmar is the nations of the world. They should put this Mizmar in the UN. Okay, you walk in there, v'lo yisa goy al goy cheder. What do they have there? They have a pasuk. And everywhere we go on a tour. When I was a kid, they used to go. Well, I never went, but it was very common to go to the UN, the school trip. They do that anymore today? Nah, they don't do it anymore today. Those days are gone. They used to take us to the Statue of Liberty. They don't do that either anymore. You never hear kids going to the Statue of Liberty. The world, they go to the Statue of Liberty? We used to go all the time. The summer, they would go on the ferry. We used to go, now I think they shut it down, it's locked up, this, that, all these excuses. We used to have a life. What happened to this country? This country went down the drain, it's unbelievable. It used to be a whole different world. Everything now is security, terrorism, this and this, and shagas. Life wasn't so complicated, no, when we were kids. There was a zohar and a nekeva. There were only two types of bathroom. What happened to this world?
It was a little complicated, but there were clear lines between the good and the bad. Oh. Now we're not so sure who's who.
Now we live, you have to create your own reality. Everyone has to create a reality in their mind.
That's how you feel.
How you feel, you have to identify. The world became very complicated. But this Mizmar discusses the Umos HaOlam, and it describes them with many, many metaphors. Nachalei Mayim, Mayim Rabim, Arozim, Arze Levonon, and today we learned about Midbar, and then the Midbar Kodesh, and then they're called Ayolos. Ayolos, for some reason, that creature, the female Ayola, the female Ayol represents the Umos HaOlam, and then we have, and that's it. These, what?
Naphtali
is called. Well, where does Naftali come into this?
Naftali
Ayala Shalucha, very good. Oh, you're saying very good. You have to do a whole project and all the places that we could, all the Ayala, where she appears in Tanakh. Excellent. Naftali has a shaykhis to the Ayala. Very interesting. And also the mountains. The mountain, there are two mountains. We compare them to two mountains. Okay, so it's fascinating. We compare the Umma Yisraelim to all different types of things in this world. All different types of bodies of water. We compare them to mountains. We compare them to a specific creature called the Ayala. We compare the nations of the world to the forest, to the Yaaros. Did I leave out anything? And to the Midbar, and to the desert. No, their aim is how the Levanon and the Syrian shake. It doesn't say you want to say Kamo Egel. It seems that the Egel and the Re'aim is not, we're not comparing it to them, we're comparing them to the Levanon and the Syrian, and we're describing that the Levanon and the Syrian are shaking. The Umma Yisraelim are the Levanon and the Syrian, and Hashem is causing them to shake like an Egel and the Re'aim. Okay, so it's very, very fascinating. We have very specific metaphors for the Umma Yisraelim. Each one of these metaphors obviously represents a different category of a nation. Certainly in the United Nations, they certainly have different categories of who's important, okay? Who gets to go on the Security Council? Who's part of NATO? Everyone has their, you know, who, everyone, every nation has a certain category, and obviously there's a metaphor. David was ahead of his time. David, upgeteicht the ganze Welt. He understood everything, all of these things that we have today, everything Imamish she sees is rooted over here. Another principle which I think we're going to go through a little bit soon is, in this Mizmar, Hashem's name appears how many times? Yudke Vavke? 18 times. Plus, it says the word Kel. Kel is 19. And that corresponds to the Shemona Esrei. The 18 blessing of Shemona Esrei plus Kel refers to the bracha of V'lamal Shinim. V'lamal Shinim is the Kel. It's not in the same category. It was added later on, which basically means that this Mizmar is critical to Shemona Esrei. This Mizmar, if you want to know the secrets to Shemona Esrei, obviously each expression where Hashem's name appears, I don't know how to decipher this. You got to be a real big Talmud Chacham to figure this out. But each expression of Hashem corresponds to one of the 18 blessings of the Shemona Esrei. And Chazal, if you look in the page, we'll just touch on some of them, but there are Chazal, they dissect, they keep on referring back to this Mizmor, to the different blessings in the Shemona Esrei.
What about the last pasuk, you know, it's very common pasuk. What does it mean? Hashem gives the people strength, and then Hashem blesses them with shalom.
So you're asking, what is the connection between oz and shalom?
Do we have shalom because we have oz? Because we're strong, therefore we have shalom? Or I don't know.
Yes, very good. Hashem oz li amo yit. Hashem will give oz to his nation, amo. And then it says, Hashem yivarech es amo vashalom. So there are many differences. First of all, there is giving, yitain, and there's bracha. What's the difference between yitain and being mevarech? Hashem yivarech. Hashem will bless. When a person gives you a gift, isn't that a blessing? If I give you something,
oath is always not, it's not always good to be strong.
Might, power.
Oath is always good.
Rashi says, no saying Torah liyama, the oaths.
Hashem will give the Torah. Hashem owes. Okay, so we have to go through the Rashi's and see. I don't know. So let me just start for a minute or two. Let's just begin some of the Rashi's. Okay, we're going to go through a second round with the Rashi's. But at least we have an appreciation. We went through this Mizmor. It's very important. This Mizmor is one of the Mizmor that's Kedai to dwell upon. Because we say it on Shabbos. When we finish Kriyas HaTorah. And it's interesting. On Shabbos, we don't say on Shabbos Shemona Esrei. We do not daven the Shemona Esrei. In fact, we never think about it. We call the Amida the Shemona Esrei. We never, ever, ever daven 18 blessings. Never. Why do we call it the Shemoneh Esrei when we never have 18 blessings? During the week, you have how many?
19.
You have 19. Shabbos, you have 7. Yom Kippur, you have 9. I mean, Rosh Hashanah, you have 9. So when do you ever have 18? When do you have 18? So you know the answer is? You have it on Rosh Hashanah, is a Yom Arichta. You say 9 blessings on the first day Rosh Hashanah, and 9 blessings on the second day Rosh Hashanah, for a grand total of 18. It's a Yom Arichta. The Iker Tzfila of the year is Shemoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there are 18 blessings. 9 the first day, 9 the second day. Musaf. When you combine the two Musafim, or maybe you want to say, the Chazar Sashatz. There's the Amida of the Yochid and the Amida of the Shliach Tzibur together. The Yochid and the Tzibur, 9 and 9 is 18. Shemoneh Esrei. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is the only Shemoneh Esrei the whole year. Otherwise, it's not really 8, it's always 19 or 8.
The 19 was
established
after that.
Right, it was 18. 18, right. It was 18 and... Okay, that's Pashup Shat. Here we don't learn Pashup Shat. Here we only learn Soid and Drush. Only Soid and Drush. Someone told me there, Farishal Shachter, someone is, he was saying a Shir, and he said, he had a question, he gave a very alumnus answer. So someone says, Rebbe, but the Gemara says a whole different answer. To your question, the Gemara says, the Gemara gives the answer. So this, you're saying, this is, what is, what are you saying? So he says, I'm telling you the pshat. The Gemara says drush. The Gemara says drush all the time. I'm telling you the pshat. The Gemara doesn't always tell you the pshat. I don't know, and I thought he was joking. He says, no, he wasn't joking. He really meant it serious. Okay, so... All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, Mirat Hashem, we're going to go through round two. I'll just do one Rashi, one in the beginning. Let's do one Rashi. It's one Rashi. Havul Hashem, the first Rashi. Yes, we're going to get to it. We're going to go through all the Rashis now. We'll go through that. So let's just do the first Rashi, one little Rashi. Havul Hashem, what does it mean, Havul? So we spent a lot of time on this. Havul, I told you, means, it's a hard word, to give. What are you giving? Mitzvah the Stavah quoted, it says, Havu Livonim, Vim Ayin Meisonochi. Havu means, Havu Es Ishti. So Rashi disagrees. Rashi has a new interpretation of the word Havu, and first, it means Hachono. A whole new interpretation. Havu means to prepare. It's very, very powerful words, Rashi. Hikoinu LaHashem. Hikoinu means, Hikoin Likras Elokecho Yisrael. Prepare. Everything in life is about preparation. This whole world is just preparation. Prepare yourself in the prozdar before you enter into the palace. This world is a prozdar, is an antechamber to the palace. Shemayim is the traklin. And Mordechai is saying is the traklin. And this world is the antechamber. He coined the prozdar before you enter into the traklin. He koim likras elokecha Yisrael. This whole world, everything in life. Ni shemeichin be'erev Shabbos. Oichol b'Shabbos. This world, Shabbos mein elam haba. This world is the erev Shabbos. The whole world is about preparing. And that's what it says. This mizmar is powerful stuff then that totally transforms this whole mizmar. It says, mizmar l'David. What is David's legacy, his message for mankind? Havu LaHashem B'nei Elim. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for what's coming. You, the B'nei Elim, whether you want to say it means Avraham, Yitzhak, V'Yaakov, get ready. Prepare yourself. Because the Yom HaDin is coming. The Koyel LaHashem is coming. Prepare yourself. Rashi, Hikoinu LaHashem. Prepare for Hashem. And he repeats himself. Rashi explains. This means V'Hachinu Loi. Prepare for him. He's explaining. First, he just translates the words literally. Koinu LaHashem. It should be a comma. And now Rashi goes on to explain. What does those two words mean? Prepare for Hashem. V'ochinu loy atem. Oh, I'm sorry. I take it back because that's the second. He's now telling you the second word havu. I take it back. Hikainu la Hashem, and then it says again havu la Hashem. Havu la Hashem bnei elim. V'ochinu loy atem you klal Yisrael, who are the bnei elei haaretz. Who are the Eile? Who are the Eile? This is what the Mitzvah Stavim says, the mighty. Eile means the mighty. Mikan sha'oimrim sh'ovay. So, he's going, me'inyin l'inyin bo'is inyin, which means, what we said before, there. These Rashi is alluding to, we'll learn the Medrash tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, is it says Hashem's name 18 times in this Mizmar, corresponding to the 18 blessings. And each mention of Hashem's name refers to one of the blessings of the Shemona Esrei. So when it says, Havu, the first time it says Hashem's name, La Hashem B'nei Elim. Who are the mighty ones? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And it says here, Yudke Vavke. This is the first of the 18 times Hashem's name will appear. So this corresponds to the first blessing, the blessing of Ovois. Mikan, She'oimrim Ovois. Okay, if you look over here on the side, this is the Kain and Mikan, who Droshos Chazal, Uldevrayam, Hachi Perusha, the Kro Havul Hashem, Haskil, Lufonav, Esbene Elim, mention before Hashem, mention the Barach of Ovois, Lufiz, the Bene, who Kumoi, Bene Chayil, the Koy Allah Ovois refers to the Ovois. Okay, fine. That Menachem Chiber, Menachem, Menachem, he learns who is the. What does it mean? This is what the Mitzvah is. The Mitzvah selected this interpretation. Havu l'shoin nesina, to give. Like we said, Hava, as the Mitzvah David says, Hava es ishti. Elim l'shoin nesina, elim sarim. And in that context, it means, Havu means ascribe. Express yourself. The elim means the princes, Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, the princes of this world. Kol b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Malach, Yisrael b'nei Malachim. And you shall ascribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu words of praise. Havu kavod, then when it says the second time Hashem's name is mentioned, Havu la Hashem yudke v'alke, kavod v'oz, might. What is might? Might is gevura. So this is a remez to the second blessing of Shemona Esrei, Mikan Shemim gevurois. Alright, well, Mirtz Hashem will pick up from this pasuk Rashi tomorrow. We'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn something very